They do say three times is lucky, or the third time lucky. And this is the third time, as I was reminded this morning, that I was going to present this talk. The first time I was actually too ill to do it. And the second time was supposed to be last weekend. But I was packing for a journey, and I went on a journey. And Dylan actually kindly we swapped. So last week I was packing for a journey, not my final journey, but a journey to Victoria. And I thought about the clothes I had to wear and what I was planning on doing, which basically on the Friday was to have afternoon tea at the Empress Hotel. My daughter and I had planned this trip some time ago because we had talked for years about doing a trip when she turned 50 and I turned 70. Well, she turned 50 in December and I turned 70 in July. So we wanted to do a trip or a journey. And my health kind of declined, and I realized trips back to New Zealand or trips to somewhere else was kind of not in the cards. So I sat down and thought, what would I really like to do? And I said, I want to go play tourist in Victoria. Unfortunately, due to things, I was lucky that I'm not able to drive there myself right now. So Trish, thank goodness, has a daughter in Victoria. She drove me to Vancouver. We picked up my daughter, and then we went to Victoria. Trish went her way. And then when it came time to come home, she drove me back from Vancouver so that I could have this trip. I didn't really play tourist, but I was determined to have tea. And I did. And I brought some tea, and my Wednesday night meditation group, we all had Empress Hotel tea on Wednesday night, and then I read their teacups. My one stint at fortune telling, which I never admit that I ever do. Oh, hang on, I do crystal balls as well. Yes, that kind of fits under that category. Perry this morning kind of took me by surprise when he just said to me, I didn't know you were a fortune teller. And I said, well, I'm not. I'm a psychic life consultant. I do many things. I don't tell fortunes, ever. And I realized as I contemplated that, and I must apologize to him, because to be classified as a fortune teller when I spent many, many years to legitimize reading tarot cards is kind of, I never was that. And that's not how I read anyway, but it was really an interesting reaction to me. Fortune teller? You'll never see that. But anyway, back onto the subject at hand, preparing to go on a journey or a trip. Now, the same thing kind of happened last night, because I'm planning on being here today. Now, I had it in my head all week, the dress I was going to wear. Now, the women in here will know what I mean. You've got to think about the dress you're going to wear. I had it all planned, but it needed ironing. In fact, I had a little stack of ironing that needed done. So anyway, it came time to do the ironing to get the dress so I could wear the dress today. Would you believe my iron would not work? I plugged it in several places. It would not heat up. I could not figure out why it wasn't heating up. So I had to ditch that whole plan. So my preparation of looking gorgeous and wonderful in an end of a summer dress was out the window, and I had to sit down this morning and think what I could wear that was wearable. Well, bless you. It was not in the plan, believe me, it was not in the plan. The plan was a very white dress because summer's kind of leaving us and early fall is arriving. This topic for me is something that I talk a lot about. Preparing for your final journey was a topic I kind of came up with because people who attend my past life regression workshops, by the way, which I'm having one next Saturday morning early, flyers over on the table, I always touch on the process of leaving this life and going into the next life, or going into wherever the space is. Because we don't talk about this topic. We don't talk about the topic of leaving. You know, they always say there's two things we can be certain of is death and taxes. Well, I do know that a lot of people don't necessarily pay taxes, but I do know that all of us at some point will leave this body that we hold. I just want to take a little quick monitor. How many people here today are over 60? No, just hold on. Don't anticipate me. Okay, hands down. How many are over 70? Okay, and how many is over 80? Yeah, a couple of you. You see, what happens is that as we get near that age, once we've kind of passed 60, for those of you that are younger than that, you have a lovely journey that begins in your 50s, especially women, because I am one and I know, and my daughter's going through it now. And it's kind of smiling because I remember all the things she said to me when I was complaining in my 50s. And I just smile, because now she has them all. And then I remember the 60s as well coming, and so does she. There's a journey that we go on as we go older. And the thing is, we never know really when that final day comes. When I was going to go to Victoria, I got to pack. I got to sit there and think about, what am I going to do? On Friday, I'm going here, and I want the special, another different dress, by the way, I wanted to wear. Saturday, I was doing something else. And by way, Sunday, I went and visited the local metaphysical church there called the Church of Truth. And what was really interesting to me was they have this beautiful building with a very high ceiling, and I couldn't really hear because the sound all went up. And I really appreciated us. I have to tell you, I really appreciated us. Because in here, we could feel and know the spirit of enjoyment and life and learning. So I just want to let you know that. And I got to see Janet, who was a regular member here, who has been ill and just getting back to going to the church on Sunday. So I got to talk with her, commiserate a little bit. We're both on a journey of healing. And then I come back here, and now I've got to prepare to speak to you today. So what's all this preparation stuff? What do we do when we know that at some point our souls are going to leave our body? You see, my journey, or my part of my whole journey in my life, has been leading me step by step, miraculously, however it is when I look back, to understand souls. I remember when I was told, oh, I have a voice in my head, and I'm not crazy, they don't lock me up for it, but I do have a voice in my head that will talk to me at times, and it told me at a certain time that I was going to draw souls. I thought they were nuts. I'm not an artist. I don't know how to draw. And today I'll say, I draw your soul, but I give it, it really is an impression. It takes me about a minute and a half. What is this thing called a soul? Since then, my life has taken me to the point that I now do soul journey readings for people where I follow their journey of their soul right back to the very, very beginning. And it's still feeling new, and I'm learning so much more about the cosmos, about what to expect, what we encounter, how things work. And what has been really neat for me is the people that have experienced this have all said it has helped them understand who they are today. Because even though when we come to Earth, and by the way, I bust lots of myths about different things, but even when we come to Earth, we bring who we are, and it reflects in many different ways into each lifetime that we are here. So let's just touch on how we get here. How many people here believe even that we choose to come to Earth? A lot of you. May I just tell you that's not true. The first time I ran into a person that I was working with and found they had been sent here, I thought it was rare. I thought it was very rare. In the intervening years, which have been a lot, I found it's not so rare. People are sent here for various reasons, mainly because this is an emotional planet. And they use this a lot for kind of smarten up. If you've been naughty over here, we're going to send you over there. And it reminds me, because nothing really is ever out of any context, how we used to send people to Australia, or from England in particular, or to the US. And I was watching something where someone was going to get really hurt for stealing some bread. The Outlander, if anyone else is following The Outlander, a little kid's going to lose his hand. And I thought, and she said, oh, how terrible. And I thought, well, later, they used to send people to Australia. I didn't know it until recently. I had a I don't know how many greats, several great-grandfathers sent to Australia for stealing wool so his family could be kept warm. So we send people places. One of the worst situations I ever found when I was working with a lady, that she was anesthesiac, is that the word? And to anesthesize, to make, you know, make block you right out. That's the word, thank you. Sorry, sometimes I screw up the English language, as my daughter tells me regularly. Say that word again.
Anesthesiologist.
Thank you. Well, you've anesthesized the person. This person woke up here and didn't know where she was. Didn't know anything about it. It was like coming into a very, not only strange land, but had no idea how she got here, what it was all about, how the whole thing worked. And she said to me, thank you, you've answered a lifelong question. I've always been trying to figure out what the heck is going on. And you see, sometimes we just don't realize the soul of ours, what it's been through. There are some very not nice places out there in the cosmos. There are some gorgeous ones. And some people have some pretty rough trips. I'm fortunate enough to have been able to see through other people's soul journeys, the cosmos, beginning of new galaxies, the edge of the galaxies where it really does seem to drop off into blackness. It seems like many of us have spent time in some form of space or other. But no matter how we get here, we are here. No matter what, whether we were sent here, whether we chose, because some people do still choose to be here for sure, whether we choose to be here, whether we arrive here by mistake, which happens when spaceships crash, by the way. That's happened quite often. I ran into that first at all in a past life regression workshop where I didn't put a time in past or future, and a guy went way into the future, way beyond where we are now, and said I was in a spaceship and I crashed. What happens to your soul? You're crashed in a strange land. You have to assimilate. So you have to figure out how to become part of what's here. But we're here today. And we're in a body that has a certain lifespan. And when that lifespan is over, the soul leaves it. And that's what I wanted to talk specifically about. Excuse me a sec. Is how do we prepare for that journey? See, in a past life regression workshop, what we do is we take a look at a life, another life, usually a past, but sometimes future. But we'll talk about past, it's easier. Go back into the past life. And really, I'm not so much interested in what you might have done in that life. What I'm interested in is that last day. What is that last day of that life? What are your regrets? What are your guilt? What are the strong emotions that you have? Because if you're caught up in regret and guilt and emotion, that is what you take with you. That is what travels with you and will determine what happens next. So it is very important in preparing for leaving is that you can look back over your whole life and not have a regret. Not easy. I quite often do it. Little memories pop up and I go, oh, how do I feel about that now? Do I have any regret over that? Do I feel guilty over anything that I've done? Because I don't know about you, but I'm certainly haven't been a saint all the way through. Do I feel guilty about anything? And also, what often is overlooked, do I have any emotion, rage, anger, still wanting to kill somebody that walks on the planet, you know? Because if you haven't cleared that, if you haven't checked into that universal love force and know that you are loved without measure, no matter what you have said, done, or anything else, and then you can let go of all those other little bits and pieces, then it's time you did. Because that's what I teach. is how to do that. How to let go. To forgive yourself. There's a lot said about forgiveness. And I'm one of those teachers that talk a lot about it. Sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. And the most important thing I found is to forgive ourselves. Because nothing occurs to us in our environment unless we have a part of it. And I know many of us abuse when we're little, and they say, what are we doing there? But we're, our souls are not little. What are we carrying from one life to the other life to the other life? We do not know. And that's our job as adults with a conscious mind, to be able to go back in and be able to clear that. So we're not just dealing with this life, but we can deal with all time as best we can. So that we can come into that place to prepare ourselves for when the light comes for us. How many people here saw the movie Ghost? I use it a lot in part of my class because that movie, when I saw that movie and I sat, and I didn't even know nearly as much of what is being shown to me now. I was thrilled. Oh, there were a couple of pieces I wasn't too sure of. But I did know this. I did know that when a light came for you, when you died, it was there. And if you did not go into that light, you could miss it. I knew that much. Why do you think we learn how to meditate? In order to be able to let go of the world and just go within. We learn to accept love. One of the things with the past life regression, what we do is let people accept and know the universal love force, that light that comes, that loves you. And part of the whole thing is learning how to let go of those guilts and regrets of that life and then finding those things in this life where you still hold on to them. Because if you had them at the end of life, we'll say, you're going to have them in this life. We're not just a little branch that popped out of nowhere. We're part of a great big tree. And what we want is that tree to be like in the spring when it blossoms in beauty and love and light. I wasn't very well this spring and I was in my bedroom a lot, and outside my bedroom window is a cherry tree. And I got to watch that cherry tree go from pretty dull and dark to the little spots. And then one day came the blossoms. And I thought, how like life. We have an opportunity at any day and every day to be like that blossom. To embrace life. To allow that love that is there in and generate that. And take it to those spots in our lives that aren't working as well. Because if you work, and it is work, you know, it's not always easy to be up. Where's the lovely Brenda with lots of jokes, fun, and smiles? When you're hurting and in pain or something's going on in your life that is really sad. But underneath all that, there is this continual, beautiful love source that is always there to support you. And as I tell my students, you must ask for it. Actually, my tarot students really learn that probably more than anything because it's part of the symbology. You must ask for what you want and what you require and what you need in relation to that. So when you're getting and thinking you're getting close to this end of the journey, that's when a lot of people panic. Sometimes I'm called upon to help people cross. Probably more family members do that because they know that they've got a crazy aunt, so if they get stuck with some things, they will get hold of me. If you are guilty about anything, you're scared to let go. Because you don't know what to expect. And even when you've had other members of your family go across and you know they're there waiting for you, you're going to be scared to let go. And I've had to go back in time to help people cross over several times. I've had to go back and find a person back in time and help them cross, because time is Today we say this is this day. But it's just as easy for me to go back 3 days ago and walk right in and be able to be there to help somebody resolve their issue in that time. Faith and trust. I see it a lot in my transformation work. We're not taught anymore to have faith and trust. We're not really taught. Like, how many of you here were raised in Christian type or any other religious type thing? Yeah, how many of you were Catholics? Yeah, okay. I understand. I wasn't, but lots of my students have been. Yeah. I had a strange background. But what it did was it underlined an element of having faith and trust in something. I got to learn quite young in the sense of things. My metaphysical studies really started, not my quest for God, that was there very young, but my metaphysical studies started when I was 20 years old. So that's 50 years now, pretty well. Well, we'll be in November. And I knew that there was an energy. Don't ask me how I knew it, I just always knew it. And many of us sitting in this room here, intuitive enough, came in with that knowingness that there is an energy here. How do I get to it? How do I define what God's about? And if the word God offends you, read one of my books that tells you how to change the worry, all the emotion about the word, which I'm going home to do that on Fortune Teller. Thanks, Perry. It's always something. So let's talk a little bit about the process of letting go. I had two parents. My mother died of cancer. They gave her 3 months. She lived 5 because she was really scared of dying. Now, so that was, I went down when I was diagnosed, but I had to come home. I was running a large business at the time and I had to be back home. And I could not spend those months down there. But I saw that she was scared. And at the time, if I have a regret, it's that. I didn't know what to say or do. But my father died exactly how I would like to. He was put in a nursing home, and he was in his late 80s. And the change of staff happened at 7. So at 10 to 7, the staff that was leaving, the night staff that was leaving, checked on him, and he was alive. 10 after 7, the new staff checked on him, and he was dead. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. And if there's any way to go, it's that. No hassle, no bother, no long-term pains, no very much of anything. So do we choose how we die? I'm not sure about that. I haven't experienced it in this life. But very often in the past lives, when we ask people, do they know that they're dying? They'll say yes, and they'll say no. Because accidents, you don't know. I don't know. Sometimes people will say, well, I don't know, there's something about today, but I'm not sure what it is. But very often if you're sick or you're not well, you'll go, yeah, you know, I know it's today. So what happens when it comes time in that moment to let go of this life and all that that entails is that there will come a light. Now that light can be of any color. If they tell you it's going to be white, if they're going to tell you it's going to be gold, or I'm just looking at my time, I can talk. Or whatever. Just know it could be anything. What you're looking for in that light is to be able to absorb the love that it brings. And that's why we need to let go all those regrets and guilt and all that stuff, because it takes up room. You need to be able to know, yes, I embrace this love. I tell you, I've touched into that love several times in my life. It's not something I walk around in all the time, unfortunately. But when I do, I just know it. And I know that it's all good. So when that time comes, remember, let everything go but that light, that embrace. Don't think about whoever's by your bed crying or what they're going to be doing, because you can come back later and see them, you know, if that's what you want. But you must be ready to go up into that light, and you will go to where you need to go. Some people have their mother, their father, their old boyfriend even show up to help them. We don't know who it's going to be. I remember I was helping a friend, my brother's friend, who they all thought committed suicide. And my brother phoned. So we wondered what was going on, and did he make it or cry? He hadn't made it. He didn't know he was dead yet. It was an accident. It was an accidental overdose. And so I had to sort of walk up to him and say, well, you do realize that you're dead. And it was like, no, I'm not dead. Oh, well, I'm sorry, but you are. So come on, let's go. And he would not accept the light. He would not do anything with the light. Wouldn't have any part of it until I brought up his mother. Mums are very close to people, it seems. And I said, well, here's your mum, let's go. And then I said, oh, yeah, there's none. Off. See, we're not taught to trust in faith that this love is there for us. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter how sad and depressed and miserable you've been, you are loved for you because you are a soul. And that soul is cherished. And the more I have learned this last couple of years through the soul journeys, I've really got to see how cherished it is. That's for another day. And then you will go to whatever level of existence you choose to do, to your spiritual level. You may go to school like my mum did. My father played. My father, bless his heart, was quite miserable in lots of ways. And hard. Born just after the turn of the century, you know, Victorian era. And when he finally went over, and he came in to see me, actually, it's one thing being a little bit clairvoyant helps. I didn't recognize him because all his life he didn't have hair. And he walked in, he had this big batch of hair, and he told me, he said, when my hair went, my pride went. And actually it was connected over the lifetime that actually I had, where when I went into the concentration camp and they cut off all my hair. And I had long red hair, and my pride was in my beautiful red hair, which I always have loved all of my life. From the time I was a child, I loved red hair. So we had long talks for a long time, because he went to play. He needed to play. So how much playing are we not doing here? I don't feel I'm playing enough right now. We need to play. We need to have fun. It's like Brenda says, we need to smile. Life, when you are joyous, it always reminds me when I'm not, because I'm not still 100%. And I'm thinking, when I'm joyous, how can disease be in your body if you're joyous? Like, what is wrong with you, woman? Get your joy back. Joyousness, life. Now, my mom, on the other hand, bless her heart, when I talked to her after she had departed, she said, I've got to go learn some more things. I'm in school. So I used to talk to her. And then one day I called her up. I wanted to know something. And she said, not now, dear. I'm busy. And that's when I knew time for separation from me. I needed to separate. Because she had got on with her existence. She was learning. She was growing. And it wasn't about us back here. So you need to be independent. You need to be able to be loving and welcoming of all, but independent. So I realize I need to sort of wrap this up. Boy, I didn't think I'd go on. Anyway, so what's the basic line here? In preparing for this final journey, which we never know when it's going to come, look at your regrets. Look at your guilt. Look at the things you have emotions. Take some time to sit back and contemplate your life. Sometimes our minds do not want to look at those things. We don't want to look at a regret that we have. But believe me, it's worth it. Because when that final moment comes, you want to be able to surrender to that light with such ease and grace that your transition is like a hot knife going through butter. You just want to be able to smooth right in there and go, yes, thank you. Because you're loved. And you deserve it. 100% you deserve it. You need to know it and be it so that you can enhance this life. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for listening.